My guest at this time is former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. He is now affiliated with the American Enterprise Institute. As most of our listeners, I'm sure, are aware, this week is the opening of the United Nations General Assembly. President Trump addressed the assembly on Tuesday and certainly got a wide mix of reaction to the speech. Ambassador Bolton earlier this week called it the best speech so far of the Trump presidency. And, sir, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, glad to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, sir, let's start with a little bit of breaking news here as we record on Thursday afternoon, and that is two things related to North Korea. First of all, the president announcing a new round of sanctions that he has signed off on. Here's exactly how he phrased that on Thursday.
Today I'm announcing a new executive order I just signed that significantly expands our authorities to target individuals.
Issue in a number of ways today. Some folks, I think, were impressed by the way he stood up for the security interests of Israel and saying that the way that the Palestinians and the groups affiliated with them have acted towards Israel is completely unacceptable. At the same time, I noticed one of your initial reactions was that he still has a bit of an air of moral equivalence on how both sides have grievances, they both need to stand in each other's shoes and so forth. So overall, what did you make of how he handled specifically the Middle East issue?
Well, you know, he has said repeatedly in the past that he believes that Israel should be able to live in security. So I didn't see much new there, although there may have been a little bit more emphasis as we are now only 14 months or less away from his reelection bid. And I thought clearly what he was trying to do primarily without saying so in this speech was avoid this Palestinian effort to have the Security Council or the UN General Assembly declare a Palestinian state. I did think the moral equivalency tone of that portion of his speech was about as explicit as he's ever been, and I think very troubling when you look at the situation that Israel faces and the terrorist attacks it suffered. And I think it helps explain why the president's position to Israel in substance, maybe not in rhetoric today, but why his position in substance has worried so many supporters of Israel during his administration.
One of the big pieces of buzz following the speech was how the Palestinian delegation seemed to respond to that stand in their shoes comment, shaking their head. Folks like you obviously believe that was going too far in appeasing perhaps the Palestinian position. The Palestinians thought it was asking them too much in the other direction. So where does that mean we stand right now?
Well, you know, the president is, I believe, in large part responsible for the dilemma that we face today. I do think he raised expectations too much last year by saying he would welcome a Palestinian state, even though he did say at the time it would have to come through agreement. And I think he helped provoke this confrontation because over the past year, although the Palestinian effort has been plain for all to see, there has not been until the last few weeks a clear statement of American opposition and clear American effort to prevent the resolution from happening. So, you know, in diplomatic circles, what that means is when somebody says they're opposed to something but they don't do anything to stop it, people draw the reasonable conclusion that the opposition is pro forma, it's a wink and a nod for them to go ahead, and that in this case maybe it's a signal the Obama administration wouldn't mind that much if there were a UN resolution declaring a Palestinian state. So as I say, I think it's actually the Obama administration's inattention to this issue or its unwillingness to do anything that's caused part of the problem we face this week.
So you're expecting kind of the delay strategy in the Security Council? Is that pretty much the most that supporters of Israel can expect here?
Well, that's all the buzz up here, as you suggested a moment ago as well, that people are talking about delay as a strategy. I would be amazed if the Palestinians brought this up in the Security Council, that it just wasn't a flat-out American veto. And I have to say, honestly, that's why I don't think the Palestinians are going to go that route. I don't think that even though they could spin a defeat as a moral victory, I think what they want is a political victory so that they're more likely to go to the General Assembly. That's where the delay strategy makes sense. And that, I think, is another vulnerability for Israel because the Obama administration's pattern this past two or three weeks has been to press Israel to make substantive compromises in its position, hopefully in exchange for the Palestinians dropping this resolution. So that's taking up giving up substantive policies in exchange for dropping this Broadway theater. I think that's something Israel should resist, but I think the administration could put them under a lot of pressure.
Last question on the Middle East front. Israel, of course, offering that other option yesterday. They obviously don't want to see the unilateral Palestinian state. They essentially want the framework to be done through negotiations. Is that getting any sort of support other than perhaps tacitly from us?
Well, I hope that others, even, no matter how they vote on this Palestinian resolution, will support that. You know, you've got Obama in New York. You've got Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel in New York. You have Abu Mazen, the Palestinian leader, in New York. What a better time or place for everybody to sit down, have a beer summit, or maybe the Palestinian leader will have an apple juice and start the negotiation. What could make more sense?
Let's talk about a couple other issues that the president addressed. In the beginning of his speech, he talked about what he considered progress throughout some of the region. He certainly talked about Libya and how he thought that was a justified use of American force and how he said the international community ought to function. He also talked about the changes in Tunisia and Egypt and pressured the UN to take more decisive actions in terms of sanctions against Syria. How much do you agree or disagree with his assessment that that part of the world is in a much better state than it was a year ago?
Well, I think he's trying to put a very optimistic state on the affairs of the world. He conceded that things weren't perfect, pointed to Iran and Syria. But I think it's part of his overall approach that he wants to say the world is not in bad shape, not perfect, but not in bad shape, thus justifying his lack of attention to U.S. national security affairs, justifying his focus, his concentration on domestic affairs. And I thought in that regard, he was a little too optimistic about the state of the world, much too optimistic about the role of the U.N. You know, one thing that he said that I wrote down as I was listening at Fox News and didn't have a chance to comment on, he congratulated the U.N. on helping win the Third World War. Now, if he meant by that the struggle against communism, I'd like to know who in the White House came up with that line, since the U.N. had no role in the victory over communism.
In terms of Iran, sir, it seems like that was hardly addressed, if at all. I didn't see the entire speech, but I certainly didn't hear him address it in any significant way. It's also, of course, the same day these hikers have apparently been released. Do you sense that's a coincidence?
Well, I think he was probably not aware when he went up on the podium where the hikers were exactly. Now, we do have confirmation that that they have been released. But, you know, honestly, it's also consistent with his approach really since his inaugural address on Iran. He has wanted to negotiate with Iran about the nuclear weapons program. I think that's a fantasy. And I think his reluctance to confront more than in a sentence or two Iran's repression of its own people, its continued work on nuclear weapons, is a sign he still hopes to find a way to negotiate. So he has to make some reference to Iran, and that's basically what he did today, but hardly with the enthusiasm that I think we should have to make sure that Iran doesn't get nuclear weapons.
Last question before we let you go, sir. From your perspective, best case scenario when this opening of the General Assembly wraps up, whether it's on the Palestinian question or anything else, what do you hope is the reality come the end of the week?
Well, I just hope that the situation in the Middle East doesn't get worse. I mean, it could well be we have a lose-lose-lose situation here. Israel and the Palestinians lose because of this needless confrontation. The U.S. loses because we've lost influence. The U.N. loses because it's the scene of this very bitter dispute. And ultimately, we're further away from peace than we were before. So if we can avoid that, if we can just leave this week in the same position we came in, I'd be happy.
Mr. Ambassador, as always, we appreciate your time. Thank you, sir, very much.
Well, thank you again for having me.
Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, now with the American Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.